And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, all the way back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, listen, I'm going to do number one of the Triple Dipper now. And keep in mind, too, this is the day of the week that we do Boomer and McQueen. That'll be at 3:30. But, yeah, this first section of the Triple Dipper is called Military-Minded. My recollection is that Alabama has one of the highest per capita numbers of veterans in its population of any state in the nation, one of the highest. Alabama always turns out hard for, you know, military issues. And we have some amazing folks still on active duty right here in our state. I mean, think about what we got. Fort Rucker, now named Fort Novosel, actually, but Fort Rucker has been where all Army helicopter flight training takes place, down in the Wiregrass area. Come on up to the Fertile Plains and across the river region, you got Maxwell Air Force Base, which is the schoolhouse for Air Force officers. And then you come on up a little further, and you got Anniston Army Depot, which is one of the major depots for the repairs of armored vehicles in the United States. And then you got Redstone Arsenal, which is itself a major, major site now for materiel command, among other things. So I'm just saying, this state is covered up. And then you got our National Guard and Reserve. We have one of the most robust National Guards in the entire nation. And I don't mean that lightly. This is one of the only states in the nation. There's only special forces groups, all right? So on active duty, you got the 1st, the 3rd, the 5th, the 7th, and the 10th special forces groups. A lot of folks don't realize there are two reserve component SF groups, Green Berets, one of which is headquartered in Alabama. We have an entire group headquarters for the 20th Special Forces, plus an entire line battalion, plus a support battalion of the 20th group right here. We have one of the only reserve component Explosive Ordnance Disposal, or EOD, National Guard units. We have the Theater Sustainment Command for all of NORTHCOM. Should there be a national-level emergency, the logistics is covered by the 167th TSC out of Anniston. I mean, it's crazy what we have in the state. I just recited all that from memory. It's just crazy what we have in the state. Anyway, all that to say, military-minded, first out the gate. Let me just tell you about some stuff that's happening that impacts our military here and abroad. All right, number one, it looks like General Milley is going to be retiring. So our current chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you know, and talk about somebody who's become a disappointment in recent years, he has had an incredible career. If you look at, he's got all these scare me badges on. I mean, the man's a combat diver, a master jumper, special forces, ranger, you know, just highly decorated, an amazing career as a warfighter. He's just gone, in my opinion, he's gone soft, and many would say he's gone woke in terms of his time as chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Well, he's retiring. 42 years of service, I believe. And Air Force Chief of Staff General Charles C.Q. Brown was recently nominated. The story came out on military.com last Friday, I believe. Yeah, so General Charles C.Q. Brown, Air Force General, is being tapped to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs. So it'll be an Air Force guy coming in this time, assuming he's confirmed by the Senate. Now, here's the thing. Here's where Alabama comes sort of in the mix. General Brown, I believe, has to be confirmed by the Senate. General Brown may have his Senate confirmation held up by Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville. That would be interesting. And then here's the other thing. Biden is doing this just a little over a year away from the election. Is it possible that Tuberville could wind up holding things up on nominations only to see, lo and behold, Biden not get reelected, and then General Brown just basically had his name in the hopper but never got confirmed? That is possible. That is, in fact, possible. Brown is apparently highly qualified, very decorated. I will say this, Brown also is very controversial, and recently he said favorable things regarding the protests for the George Floyd incidents in the Summer of Love back in 2020. So, yeah, there you go. But he is a glass ceiling breaker. He's the second black general to be nominated. The first was, of course, Colin Powell. But I wish they wouldn't do that. Because what I understand is that General Brown has an amazing, it's just like Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. I mean, she's got an amazing career, highly, highly competent. And yet they put an asterisk by her name by saying, what we're going to do is make sure that we exercise diversity, equity, and inclusion, and we're going to find a black woman to be a justice. Okay, so you immediately made sure that everybody knows that it wasn't her legal acumen that got her elected or nominated. Well, the same's being done with General Brown. Stop doing this. It says Biden has made diversity in his administration a priority, and he appointed the first black Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. The last black officer to hold the role of Joint Chiefs Chairman was retired General Colin Powell. Okay, what's your point? What I want to know is, can he lead troops? Can he fight a war? That's what matters to us. We don't care what the color of his skin is. We just want to know the color of his uniform, and is he competent to lead troops in difficult circumstances, or for that matter, in peacetime? I'm gonna keep moving forward. So let me just jump to the next story. Since this is all military-minded, I mentioned our National Guard a while ago. And you guys, listen, what's happening out there on the southern border is not as much in the news in the last week and a half. I'm not sure why, because it really hadn't toned down. But I'll tell you one thing that has been happening is Operation Lone Star, which is Governor Greg Abbott of Texas's plan to guard his own border, has actually been making a difference. And you've got on top of that, though, that President Biden even wound up having to capitulate and send 1,500 active duty troops to the border to augment, you know, the ability of the Customs and Border Patrol to do its job. Well, story here on military.com. The governors of Virginia, West Virginia, and South Carolina on Wednesday, this came out yesterday, joined a growing list of Republican leaders that are sending their state's National Guard soldiers and law enforcement officers to the U.S. border. So, yeah, it says that Governor Glenn Youngkin of Virginia just announced he's sending 100 of his Virginia National Guardsmen plus 21 additional support personnel. South Carolina's Henry McMaster and West Virginia's Jim Justice also announced the same. That brings to, I think, at least 8 Republican-led states that are deploying soldiers. And why is that, by the way? You know, here's the deal. Who's doing the most crying right now? Democrat municipal leaders. I mean, you've got folks on the border just fighting for their lives, saving their property, doing what they can with resources that are stretched thin. You got New York City crying because they have basically as many that have shipped to them in the last 6 months as we get in half a day on the southern border in Arizona. But they're just crying. Meanwhile, Republican-led states are contributing true resources and manpower to actually deal with the issue. So, God bless them, National Guards people, men and women heading to the southern border. This is one of those just kind of human interest stories. I saw an article. This is the third one in a row from military.com. I don't just haunt that website. It's usually pretty liberal, to be honest with you. But military.com had a piece that kind of drew me in. It had a picture of an older gentleman. His name's Charlie Plum. And he's a retired Navy captain who was shot down after flying 74 successful missions over Vietnam. And he wound up spending several years in the Hanoi Hilton. And the men who had been imprisoned there just recently had a reunion dinner. It says nearly 170 American prisoners of war, including Charlie Plum, marked on Tuesday the 50th anniversary of their release following the Paris Peace Accords that ended U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War with a visit to the Nixon Presidential Library and Museum in Yorba Linda, California, the first of 3 days of events. And he talks about the fact that the way they kept each other going, and by the way, he was standing there in a replica of a cell that he had been in isolation in. They have, because the Nixon Library, the Nixon administration is the one that repatriated or negotiated the release of 591 American POWs, Charlie Plum being one of them. They actually have a significant presentation there with a mock-up of one of the cells at the Nixon Library. And so Charlie Plum is standing there talking about how they kept each other alive and alert and encouraged. And he talks about the fact that, you know, the torture was amazing. I mean, the fact that he can talk about this is amazing, too. But he says, we all thought we were tough. We flew our missions. He said, but the torture techniques they used many of us broke. And then once you broke, you felt guilty and you're in solitary confinement. You're alone all day. He said one day that literally there was a little hole in the wall and a piece of wire poked through and he saw it. And then a few minutes later, that wire came back through and it had a little piece of tissue attached to it that had part of the code that they would use to tap. And he learned the tapping code. And he said at first it was real slow. He said, but by 6 years later, they were doing 15 words a minute talking to each other on their tap codes and having conversations and supporting each other. And that's just amazing. Sometimes we forget what men and women have done. And I found that just as I was going into Memorial Day weekend. I thought, golly, I got to bring that one to the show. All right, listen, we got more of this military-minded stuff, stories that are out there, things you got to know. Even if you're not military yourself, I know this audience. I know what right-side ruffians are like. You guys care. We'll talk about several things, to include what is the new Republican Congress doing about the fact that, you know, the Afghanistan debacle. Are they investigating it? Yes, they are. And by the way, you might be interested to know that an Army bomb tech just won an episode of Chopped on the Food Network. Loving that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. I tell you what, I'll go to the phones. She hung on during the break, and I appreciate that. My friend Allie from Athens. Allie, how you doing?
I am doing well, Colonel, and I am full to the brim with very cool Charlie Plum stories. So I'll be quick and brief and intense, sir.
Okay. All right, roger that. What you got?
Well, Charlie Plum, he didn't know what he was doing, but in addition to the tap code and the messages left on toilet paper, all the kinds of things that they developed, what they did while they were in prison was they would have all kinds of classes. They learned how to pay attention as to when the guards were in earshot. And they had cooking classes, even though they couldn't cook. There were all these guys from, you know, Italians, Poles, all kinds of cooks. And they would talk about their mother's best dish. And they would teach each other how to cook it. They taught music. They taught art. They taught foreign languages. And they built such a strong community. Now, I don't know that this is the case for the rest of the guys. But when Charlie came home, this is all in his book. His book is amazing. When Charlie came home, the military shrinks had to come up with a new designation for his mental health. And what they came up with specifically because of how mentally healthy he was when he came home was post-traumatic growth. And it developed an entire new field in counseling. And that was because of Charlie Plum and the insistence on his part in building community and keeping his guys close.
That's just crazy cool. Did you say post-traumatic growth? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow.
PTG, sir. Post-traumatic growth. Look it up. Charlie Plum's the guy.
Isn't that amazing? That reminds me of a book I read about a Russian dissident named Alexander Dolgin. It was called The Alexander Dolgin Story. And he was in a gulag in solitary confinement, and he had to do things like that. He had to occupy himself with true learning or true activity. And at one point, he mapped out in his mind how long it would take for him to walk to Moscow, and he just walked his cell. But he stopped at every village and city on the way, and he just basically he did things to make sure his mind stayed sharp and his body, too, for that matter. Very cool. Allie, what's the name of his book? Do you have any idea?
I'm so driving because I'm going to go pick up the paper with your mug in it, the article on the Elm Foundation, and I can't remember, but if you Google in his name or put it on Amazon, the title will come up. And it is still available.
Good enough. Appreciate you, my friend. Thanks much.
You are welcome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Speaking of which, Boom, I don't know if I told you, I think I did tell you this, yes, that Allie, you know, she runs Athens Now, which
right.
is which is a periodical that comes out, I think, once a week, every other week, I'm not sure. But anyway, but she listened to the interview yesterday with the Elm Foundation and just did a whole write-up on the Elm Foundation.
Well, how cool is that?
Yeah, yeah, love that. That's Man. That's what happens when you got a lot of good folks out there listening to the show. What else have I got here in the text lines? I'll go to there real quick. Danny from Decatur, you see the story about the full Chinese tourists that accidentally drove into Fort Wainwright in Fairbanks, Alaska? They found a drone in the car and they were stopped after they had driven past the... I did not see that. I will be looking that one up, Danny. Thank you very much. Man, wow. Robin from Tupelo, Mississippi, says, my best friend's dad is Smitty Harris, who introduced the tap code to the other POWs in the Hanoi Hilton. He just wrote a book called Tap Code. Man, all right, I got to find that one now. I'm going to tell you, I remember going through some SEER training, nothing great in depth, but I'll never forget some of the instructors talking to us about what you have to be prepared to do, and that one of the things that they did in the Hanoi Hilton is communicate. Because you knew you weren't alone, and that's a huge deal. And those guys, I mean, there's so many lessons that came out of their, you know, horrible circumstances, but wow. Jeff from Indiana just texted in. He goes, hey, Phil, I'm still alive. I'm headed to the Smoky Mountains, almost to Knoxville, Tennessee. Got my Right Side Radio T-shirt in tow, he says. So, all right, Jeff, you be good on the road, man. We appreciate you. Glad to know you're out there. Wade from Huntsville weighing in on the whole Lululemon thing again, by the way. I'm sure that's gonna run a thread through the show, I imagine.
I'm sure.
No pun intended. Run a thread.
A thread.
Got it. To be fair, he says all yoga pants accentuate the buttocks. For most, some that wear them should not because they look like a busted can of biscuits. Like somebody's toting around a pair of bulldogs in a sack. What's happening right there? And Jerry from Decatur says Lulu is a lemon. Okay, there's that. This is not a Lululemon crowd is what I'm anticipating right now. Okay, listen, I'm going to jump back over here onto the stories I got. Here's just a feel-good story. I just saw this and I thought, yeah, that's coming on the show. Army Times. Army Bomb Tech and three other troops dominate Food Network's Chopped. So Chopped, I mean, I'm not a foodie. But Food Network, my wife will watch it, and I'll be sitting there sometimes, and it's on. And there's a show called Chopped. Are you familiar with the show, Boomer?
Oh, I'm very familiar because it's on at my house all the time.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yes. McQueen loves
Is that why you're wearing Chopped. Your Lululemons? You're watching Chopped? On?
I wear my Lululemons. We're watching Chopped. You know, all the things.
Okay. Choke myself. Anyway, Chopped did a military salute, and they had veterans. And the Army's rep in the finale is actually an active duty guy, Sergeant First Class Brian Colvin. He's a former EOD guy, and he wore his headband the entire time with his Master EOD badge right on top. And he apparently blew it out of the water. Says the four active duty chefs who all currently serve as culinary instructors or enlisted aides to senior leaders, they all competed as a team. And so, yeah, loving that. Army represents EOD. There you go. All right. On a more significant note, we're going to talk about something going on with Ukraine here in a minute. And then before this thing's over with, I got to tell you, it's a pretty significant letter that was written just last week by 160 retired generals and admirals, basically letting the world know how they feel about, you know, wokeness in the military. So we'll cover down on all of that when we get back and wrap up this segment with Military Minded. And then bottom of the hour, don't forget, Boomer and McQueen, 3:30. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back to finish up number one of the Triple Dipper, Military Minded. Y'all stay tuned.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. The local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down all of it, like the dude just said. Solid conservative and just plain right. I am still in number one of the Triple Dipper, military-minded. I got several text messages. Let me jump over here real quick. Cameron from Decatur says we ought to check out the book called Sermons in Solitary Confinement. That sounds cool. All right. By a guy named Richard Wormbrand. Okay. Cameron, appreciate it. Tony Piedmont says, can you say Jeremiah Denton? Indeed. Indeed. Alabama's own Jeremiah Denton. Time in the Hanoi Hilton. Amazing story. Incredible man. Leanne from Huntsville. Just one of our Leannes from Huntsville, a boomer. Leanne from Huntsville just says, late reaction. Sorry, just got to have a meeting. I thought Lululemon was an ice cream shop when I first saw the sign. I get it.
There you go. I like that.
All right. Yeah. And then John from Huntsville. Phil, do you think the Senate's going to pass this debt ceiling bill? John, you're getting ahead of me, brother. That's number three on the Triple Dipper. We have Justin Bogey coming on for that one.
He's jumping ahead.
What's he doing?
Oh, I can't believe him.
I'm saying. All right, he's trying to urge me through the Triple Dipper is
he's
what he's
pushing
trying to do.
Yes. He's making sure you get to
you
it.
Can get there.
That's what it is.
Go, Phil, go. Hey, back on the military-minded. So this is interesting to me. First of all, the war in Ukraine, it's still a hot war. I mean, very much so. And understand, too, this is the test bed of conventional arms right now. I mean, Lord, it's one thing to say you've got all the beta tests and field testing done on a weapon system, and it's, you know, fully employable. I get it. It's an entirely other thing to see how it actually does on a live hot war battlefield. Well, we're seeing the war in Ukraine as it's one of the first major conventional wars we've seen in recent history, and it's a test bed, if you will. It's also an extremely deadly war. I mean, the level of casualties is unbelievable. White House story here on Coffee or Die magazine. Coffee or Die magazine put out by the guys from Black Rifle Coffee. Coffee or Die magazine, the White House said on Monday, this is a couple weeks ago. The White House said on Monday it now estimates that just since December, Russia has suffered 100,000 casualties, including of which more than 20,000 were deaths or killed, as Ukraine has rebuffed a heavy assault by Russian forces in eastern Ukraine. Says, in what has become a grinding war of attrition, the fiercest battles have been in the eastern Donetsk region, where Russia is struggling to encircle the city of Bakhmut in the face of dogged Ukrainian defense. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said the U.S. estimates are based on newly declassified American intelligence. He did not say how they got the information. But we do know this. I mean, it's and we've seen it. He made the video himself. What's his name? Pogovin, I think. Anyway, the head of the Wagner Group, which is the mercenary group that Russia uses like a proxy army. They've been fighting in Ukrainian towns around Bakhmut, going house to house, and they failed. They pulled out. I mean, half what we're hearing now, by the way, is this Wagner force, the Wagner Group. They're a bunch of mercenaries, but they're plussed up by men that are just taken out of prisons and thrown into uniform, and they become Wagner troops. So you're talking about criminals being thrown to the front lines with very little training, and they're just getting chewed up. 100,000 casualties since December. That's epic level World War II type stuff right there. But speaking of Ukraine, so I got a story here. This one came off Stars and Stripes. I used to read Stars and Stripes overseas. Anyway, Stars and Stripes. Ukrainians, as of 2 days ago, have now about 200 Ukrainian soldiers who comprise an armored battalion have begun training on M1 Abrams tanks in Grafenwehr, Germany. So I'm sure a bunch of y'all that out there are familiar with Grafenwehr. That's the major training site, especially for armored vehicles in Europe, in Germany. And it's right now, we said we weren't going to send Abrams tanks over there, and then that changed. And they've got 30 Abrams tanks, and these are training tanks, by the way. These are not going to go forward, from what I understand. But they've got 200 soldiers being trained as tank crews, and they've got another support battalion element that's being trained to be those who do the refueling and maintenance. Here's the interesting thing, though. I was talking to a young Army officer recently, an armor officer, about the fact that these Abrams are being delivered, and my question was, are they going to be able to maintain them? Because it's not like we're going to have the log trains in place for them to do everything that they would normally do if they were U.S. forces. So we're going to give them X amount of Abrams tanks. Can they maintain them? And this, he told me, and I thought this was fascinating. He said, the equipment we're sending over there right now, he said, one of the things that's being said by the trainers is they have never trained people that were either A, more highly motivated, and or B, also more capable at making something out of nothing. Meaning, whereas we would, you know, we would wind up just taking an entire part off and bringing a new part on and replacing it, they go fix the broken part. You might want to comment on this. I mean, that's...
Oh, I do. I would love to comment on that because being over there in Ukraine multiple times, I was so fascinated with how they kept things running or how they had, how old something was in their house, and yet they would just fix it. And where here, we're just like, oh, we'll just get a new one.
Yeah.
And, but they would find a way to do it. And it was amazing some of the things that they put together that made something inoperable operable.
It's like almost cultural that they do this, huh?
I mean, oh, all over. It was something when I was in Kiev versus Zhytomyr down in Yellow Waters to Dnipropetrovsk. It was across the board.
Wow.
It was just instilled in them. You don't throw something away. We can fix this.
We do. We have a disposable society.
Yes.
And you're right. We'll take something off and throw it in the junk pile that some other party, somebody else like in Ukraine or wherever else, would just take that, bang out the dents, make up a new part, weld a piece together, and put it back in operation.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Wow. I know there is across the probably a board in some other like third world countries, but where they keep like just even a simple car just running.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they don't make the parts anymore at all.
Yeah.
Even the manufacturers, but they figure out how to fix it.
They make it from scratch.
Yeah, they do.
Well, that's what this officer was telling me that they're doing in Ukraine. He said right now, like a howitzer breaks down in the field, and they go to an old rough neighborhood tool and die shop, and they'll cast a new part out of steel, and they'll hammer it into place, and they'll go back to putting rounds downrange. It's just crazy. It's the kind of thing that has to happen, and yet in our society we're so trained not to do it. We just take the old piece off, discard it, and wait for the new one to arrive, and we're out of operation until it gets there.
Right, and they just do the opposite.
That's just crazy. Cool. Mm-hmm. Change of subject here. Within the same dipper, military-minded, Representative McCall, Michael McCall of Texas, and Ranking Member Greg Mix of the Democrat of New York, both on the, which committee? The House Foreign Affairs Committee. They recently, this is like last week, they demanded access to a dissent cable. So the whole Afghan debacle, the whole Afghanistan pullout debacle, which is one of the most embarrassing things on the world stage. We should not forget. It's you know, the whole thing about Benghazi ain't going away. Afghanistan ain't going away. And we should not forget what happened. After 20 years of blood and treasure were spent there, the very idea that it went down the way it did, and then 13 service members died at the gate of the airport, trying to get people out. Well, apparently, the U.S. Embassy in Afghanistan had sent a cable to the White House dissenting with the idea of pulling out. And that's never been made known. They were on the ground. They could see what was going to happen. And Chairman McCall is saying, the dissenters were absolutely right about everything they said. And it was a warning to the administration. And it was a warning that was not heeded. And so they're looking to get a hold of this. McCall, it says, obtained classified documents after months of battling Secretary of State Antony Blinken and rest of the State Department officials. He also threatened Blinken with contempt of Congress. the first time in U.S. history that lawmakers would take action like that against a sitting Secretary of State. Whew! Well, that doesn't need to go away. That one needs to carry on. All right, last one I got in my queue here for military-minded. So you recall that we had Major General Joe Arbuckle on the show here twice, actually, recently. He's with an organization called STARS, which is an organization made up of retired admirals and generals. That their mission in life is to root out the wokeness being thrust on our military and to do all they can to expose it and to, you know, argue or lobby for getting it out. Well, also within STARS is somebody else who I'm proud to say has been on the show. We need to get him back on again one day, is former three-star general Jerry Boykin, founding member of Delta Force. Well, I have in my hands an article put out by STARS and also including the name of General Boykin, because General Boykin was one of 160 retired generals and admirals who recently signed a letter calling on Congress to remove diversity, equity, and inclusion programs from the Department of Defense and to remove funding for programs like that that was put into the 2024 National Defense Authorization Act, the budget, basically, for the military. I'm saying, I am loving the fact that we're not going to just keep on seeing, well, you know, 50 retired CIA directors have come out and said that the Hunter Biden laptop was nothing. No, we're going to start seeing conservatives doing this too, and I'm glad of it. It needs to happen. The signatories included people like former National Security Advisor John Poindexter, Medal of Honor recipient Major General James Livingston, and former Deputy Undersecretary of Defense William Jerry Boykin. So-called equity, they wrote, sounds benign, but in practice it lowers standards. While equality provides equal opportunities, equity's goal is equal outcomes. And it's so true. And they argue that this should be a meritocracy. Any of y'all in uniform out there right now or who have served before, you know that the uniform service is supposed to be a meritocracy. Did you earn the rank? Did you earn the position? Did you earn the right to be a leader? Did you earn it? Well, it says they're requesting that Congress ensure that no diversity, equity, and inclusion policies and programs promoted by Biden's woke cadres at the Pentagon are included in the 2024 NDAA. And despite the administration's claim in March that DOD disbanded it, they are still embedded in the NDAA budget. All right. Well, there you have it. Military-minded. Just a number of stories for an audience out there that I know for a fact is filled up with people who love the military, served in the military, or are serving in the military. We appreciate your service, and we appreciate your hearts. That's military-minded. We'll move on, and then coming up in a few minutes, oh, yeah, Boomer McQueen. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Listen, I got to go to the text lines real quick. John from Madison, John C. from Madison, says the Wagner Group mercenaries, they're murderers and rapists that are given freedom in exchange for their service. However, they are murdered if they think about surrendering. I have no doubt, bro. That is, it's a messed up situation. I do agree. I think these are actual thugs in uniform is what they are. Jeff from Indiana. I was thinking about this too, Jeff. You're right. Because when Boomer was talking about in Knoxville, how they keep things, you know, I said Knoxville. Ukraine.
Maybe in Knoxville. I mean,
he's driving through Knoxville right now. He just said that, and I'm reading the double text. But when you were talking about Ukraine,
right,
and keeping things running, in my mind, I was picturing a story I read on National Geographic about how in Cuba, during the decades of embargo and all that basically there's vehicles from like the early 50s that they just keep them alive with creating things to keep them alive. And they
That's
keep
so
running.
Cool.
Yeah, like, it really is.
The creativeness.
Really is. David from Huntsville says, MacGyver Ukrainians. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Yeah, indeed. JT from Lacey Springs, Ukrainians repairing stuff. It proves that rednecks are worldwide.
I love it. They probably got a lot of duct tape.
We may have to play that that comedy sketch again, by the way. You still got that? The one about rednecks?
Oh, I totally do.
We may have to play
that. I like that one.
Yeah. John from Huntsville texts in again. Says, Phil and Boomer, are you guys trying to hurt my junkyard business, telling people not to throw their junk out?
Yeah.
I can't help you, John. I can't help you there, bro. Moon Pie from Madison just texted in. Realized that we've got the recommended reading list up on the website. So, yeah, check that out. Whenever we mention books that are meaningful to us, a lot of times we post those on the recommended reading site tab, on the website, rightsideradio.org. Speaking of which, rightsideradio.org. Ifin you wanted to advertise on this show, ifin you did, ifin you hear this show and you're thinking, man, those fellas got it going on. Man, those people talk just like me. Man. Yeah, I want to align myself with that, and you want your business to advertise. Listen, biggest show in North Alabama, highest rankings you can get, and I'm telling you right now, a huge audience that would probably identify with your services or products. If you want to advertise on Right Side Radio, we'd love to talk to you. You got to go to our website, rightsideradio.org, because we are a standalone business. We're not owned by the radio stations that we're on. Go to the tab that says Advertising and Contact. Click on it, send us a message, and we will get back in touch with you right away because we'd love to have you on the team. So there's that. Do that. And then I got some breaking news. Boomer, this is big doings.
I'm ready. What is it?
It's serious. I'm moving to news. I'm not joking. You're giving me the look like you weren't sure where I was headed here.
Big news.
Big news. It's big news. I mentioned it was big news.
Big news.
So truly, the legislature is finishing up its legislative session. You know, on this show, we've been talking about tax cuts.
Yes.
For how long?
A long time.
Well, the whole time you've been here, for sure.
Right, exactly.
But that's kind of what we're standing for is, fiscal conservatism and, all that kind of stuff. Well, House Bill 217 just passed in the legislature, going to the governor for signature. It's the first time in America that there has been an elimination of taxation on overtime pay. I love this.
Wow.
Remember we had Representative Anthony Daniels, who's the Democrat,
mm-hmm.
the ranking member of the Democrat Party in the House, who sounds more conservative than a lot of our Republicans.
Well, there was so many people, even in our audience, was like, are you sure he's not conservative?
Yeah, I know. He's a good dude. I wish he'd switch parties. But anyway, Anthony Daniels, he sponsored that bill. It was his idea. He looked at it and thought, how can we get people to work harder, work longer, and help businesses? Maybe we say they get to keep more of their pay if they work overtime. So we just had a bill passed in our Alabama legislature to cut the taxation on overtime.
That's pretty awesome.
It is pretty awesome. Also, I'm not done yet.
Oh,
there's still more breaking news.
All right.
Hey, what kind of show is this?
I mean, let's go.
Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth just texted out, and we may have him on the show tomorrow, by the way, that they just passed the grocery tax cut. And I heard that it may have gotten mitigated a little bit.
Right.
Like there were some people trying to kill it at the very end. But in the end, they got it worked out, and Alabama just finally cut its grocery tax for the first time in the history of ever.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's good doings. Two good bills. Glad they passed. Stay tuned for more on that. We'll be talking about fiscal policy and all that at some point with Justin Bogie here in the next hour. But I'm proud of them. So good on you, fellas. I haven't read the bills to see if they stayed exactly the same. I think there were a few nuances, but overall, we just cut taxes in Montgomery in the first time in a while. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up next, Boomer and McQueen. We'll be right back.